Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, some hauntings leave you frozen in fear. Others leave you questioning everything you thought you knew about life and death.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi. Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can also now telepathically tell us your stories. You just have to hone in on any of us and we'll get your message. So
please don't do that. Don't try and communicate with me that way. Tony, do you have a different backdrop behind you?
I do by accident.
What did you do?
I didn't recognize it. I'm like, oh, that looks a little different. I actually like it. It's cool.
I kind of like it too. I had actually created a couple of versions of this, and this was one of the other ones. And when I was pulling up the background earlier, it was not, I couldn't find it. I don't know, Windows moved it or something. I don't know why, but I found this and I, well, that's close enough. Let's go with that.
So. I like it. It's got a little bit of an old feel with the candle, the lights on the wall. The windows are a little different. I like it.
Yeah. I like it too.
What do you think about mine, Todd? I created it myself.
That's your kitty cat right there. That's what that is.
And I have a sleeping dog back there. There, that's a sleeping dog.
Kind of like you're doing the weather forecast. You're trying to point toward Wichita.
Really hard to do.
Right over here, and the low pressure system comes down
here by the cat. It is hard.
That's a really great AI cat you have back there, Carol.
Thank you.
You know,
it looks real, and sometimes it moves.
It's
not all the time, but once in a while.
It does look very authentic.
I created it myself.
Yeah, that's creepy how real
it made it look kind of like a, you know, a real house.
Like a cat.
And on the wall, which you can't see, is some Kathy Gordon artwork.
Oh, that's I see that there. Yep.
She's got, I tell you, that girl doesn't talk about it much. But she is an amazing artist.
She is.
Amazing artist. And she's doing some really cool stuff lately that kind of blows me away. And she's really, really talented. And she'll act like, yeah, I'm okay. Girl.
Yeah, it's a little bit better than, you know, connect the dots or your turkey, hand turkeys. Remember making hand turkeys in like elementary school?
Which I'll have to do for Thanksgiving this year, as it's my only talent I have.
Those were good times. No, she does amazing art.
Yeah, it's really something else. And this is a really old piece of hers back there. So what she's doing now doesn't look anything like that.
That cow thing that she
created. She did a print.
Yeah, the print. Yeah, that was really cool. When we were on the farm, she made that for it. It was really cool. It was great. Back to our conversation in just a few seconds. Have you ever had one of those times where everything just piles up, stress at work, relationship stuff, maybe burnout, and you know you could really use someone to talk to, but finding a therapist who actually takes your insurance kind of feels impossible? Yeah, I've been there too. That's why I'm obsessed with Rula. That's RULA. Rula is a healthcare company that connects you with licensed in-network therapists who take your insurance. Most people pay about $15 a session, and depending on your plan, it could be even less. What I love is how personal it feels. Rula actually matches you with therapists based on your goals, your preferences, and your background, not just whoever is available first. And you can get an appointment as soon as tomorrow. No wait list, no endless searches, just quality care that's affordable and easy to access, because if we use our insurance for physical health, we should absolutely use it for mental health too. So take the first step and go to rula.com/ghost. That's RULA.com/ghost
Again, Rula.com/ghost, because your mental health certainly does matter. Thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that's actually covered by insurance. Visit Rula.com/ghost to get started. After you sign up, you'll be asked how you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know we sent you. That's RULA.com/ghost. You deserve mental health care that works for you, not against your budget. Now back to the conversation.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to the phone lines and hear a ghost story, shall we?
Okay. Hi, my name is Sunny. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. You are awesome. I have a whole bunch of stories, and I've never called in, but just because I get a little flibbertige of it on the phone. I might type some other ones out for you, but I'll go ahead and just tell you this one. It's really fun. So when I was a teenager, my stepfather's family, they were cattle ranchers out in Pueblo, Colorado. And one of the places that they lived, they moved from a few different ranches, but one of them was in Pueblo, and it was one of the original Pony Express stops. So the main house that everybody lived in had been built upon, but it was originally just like two floors, the first floor being kind of the welcoming area, and the upstairs was more of a boarding house, and it was just kind of a big open room where they used to have beds, and then down below they had kind of a saloon area for people to stop, and then there was still the original Pony Express safe and like the big archway that was in the back, far behind the property, in the barn. And it was pretty awesome. It was crazy old stuff. But anyway, for years, when we would go there, I would stay in the new addition of the house, and I would sleep. It was kind of out by the living room, but they had built on two bedrooms, a bathroom, a kitchen, and then a living room that wasn't a part of the original home, or the original, you know, building. And so I had been told by my step-grandfather that there was a history of like some guy was there and they were gambling or something and he cheated and got shot, and that at night you could hear him walk up and down the stairs. And the stairs ran up the middle of the main house, and just basically from that lower floor where it used to be kind of the place where you would come in and there was a saloon and whatever, and they would go up to the upstairs and to where the, I guess they would gamble, or maybe it was a boarding house. I'm not sure how it was all set up. But anyway, and finally one time we went out there, and I went out there with a girlfriend of mine. I was about 16, and we slept in the bedroom that was now directly below those stairs. And it was basically the stairway where it went up, went behind the headboard of the wall. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I could hear cowboy boots and spurs hitting the stairs going up and down. And I was like, oh my God. And I woke up my friend and I was like, dude, listen. And she heard it too. And I got up really fast and I shot around the corner, and there was like no one on the stairs. And I went and peeked in, and my mother and stepfather were both sleeping, and my step-grandfather was sleeping, and it was just crazy. So anyway, kind of a fun story about the Wild West. But yeah, anyway, I'll call and tell you guys another one another time. Take care.
It's a fairly distinct sound. I don't know like what you'd really confuse that one with. You
right.
know?
It's not just like a bang in the wall. You're hearing the actual boots and the spurs. That's pretty specific.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the property should be a museum. When she was explaining it, it sounded like some kind of museum.
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me of my cousin, my first cousin. He lives in Nebraska, and my great, great, one of those grandfathers had a trading post in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And Bobby lives in that trading post. And I've talked about it before on the show. I just think that's so crazy. Like, he traded with the Indians, he traded with Buffalo Bill, and then he built the trading post and then built kind of an apartment on top, and they've since built on. And it reminded me kind of what she's talking about. You know, it's
that's
just
quite a place to live. Yeah.
And I am not close with that cousin.
Yeah.
But my mom likes him better than me. And I swear she does. She's always talking about him. But and there's another cousin too she likes better than me. But so she's always talking about him. So one time we went to his house and it was so creepy. It's like, this is the family house. This is the one that's been here forever. And like the yard's overgrown. It doesn't even look like anybody lives there.
Really?
Yeah. And so I finally had to ask, I'm like, is this place as haunted as it feels like it is? He goes, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Very haunted. Okay.
He said,
he said the piano has played by itself. They've heard people walking around. And his brother was there, and his brother had stories too.
Yeah.
Just very haunted. But, you know, that's just, and they built onto it like they did that, you know, because the original building would be so small. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they didn't have, because he didn't want a big space because you'd have to heat it. And to heat it, you know, you're burning wood and stuff.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't have a big house back then. And so they added onto it at one point too.
So let me ask you this. The feeling you got in that house, obviously it had a lot of history, a lot of people came and went, a lot of lives, a lot of generations that went through there. And the trip that you just went on, and you were in buildings that were
way older,
hundreds of years older, you know, way, 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 way older. Did you feel like those, is basically everything haunted over there? You know, I mean, if it's an older building, do they all just kind of have a sense of age, a sense of storiedness?
Can you sense that?
You know, from, is there a feeling between such dramatic differences in centuries?
Right. So Kathy had been teasing me for a long time about this is going to be really haunted. Mm-hmm. And we're going to stay in haunted locations and all this. And I'm like, I don't want to. And so a lot of what we did was, you know, touristy things. And we went to the palace in Madrid. And so there's so many people at all those places that you're not feeling it. But like where my niece lives, that building was probably built sometime in the 1800s, maybe early 1900s. It's pretty old. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm going to have feelings. I had none there.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then we stayed in a Airbnb in Toledo. That one, that's the city that's 2,500 years old. I walked in there and I had feelings. I had a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
And then the third place when we went to Madrid, also probably early 1900s, late 1800s, I didn't have any vibes in there at all. So really out of all the places, there was a couple cathedrals we went to that we were not very many people were there. And I did get vibes at some of those. But
isn't it funny that what you're considering new construction is still 1800s, 1900s, right? Which in a lot of our country, that would be very old in many communities.
Yeah. And in Toledo, it like that was a new building, 1800s, you know, because we went into a mosque there that was built in 990.
Jeez.
So way back 990.
So when you compare this, the feeling like you get, if you're to like kind of have an average thing going on here, where like, you know, in the U.S., there's plenty of places I feel, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really a sensitive, but I'm sure even sensitives would say that they just don't feel much of anything. It's just, there's nothing there. Over there, like, so if you have like the baseline of like nothing, and then you got spooky, like, okay, the house, this is a it's spooky. There's and then you go up one up, it's creepy. Like you're kind of, it's spooky, but there may be moments where you actually feel kind of creeped out and uncomfortable, and then just flat out haunted where like shit's moving around. You got evidence that there's a ghost or something going down. And then you get scary haunted. You know, this is the real creepy ones that, you know, you're like, your child is levitating and that sort of shit, and your bed's banging up and down. And then you have Haunted as Shit, which is the next one up on the scale. This is also our new scale, if you'd like to join our cult.
Now you are, path you do to pardon enlightenment. Them, though, from going to, I can't see what the first one is.
Yeah. Spooky.
Yeah, so spooky. You do put charge from going to spooky to creepy. If you're going to take our scale, you have to pay to get there.
Yes, exactly. And it's we can take Venmo. then you have Haunted as Shit, which is, you know, okay, you don't want to even you're going to, you're going to feel something. And then you have Gateway to Hell at the very end.
Okay.
Which is just, you know, that's
Amityville Horror shit.
Yes, exactly. So my point here is in the U.S., I think maybe we're probably down here bordering, you know, on nothing and spooky as our baseline. So like, what's the baseline over there? Like, where would this, where like everything is just kind of here. And then all of this just kind of becomes, it's just implied everywhere you go. It's creepy, spooky and haunted or wherever it may be.
I do think there are places in the U.S. I need a copy of this new thing.
It's official.
My cousin's house. That was haunted.
That was haunted.
You could feel it.
Yeah.
And I think like a lot of the places we went in Europe, it's hard to tell because there's so many people there. So, yeah, there's a lot. I think if you were like working at a bar that was built in the 1700s, this building, you're closing at night. It's you and maybe one other person. I think that it would feel so different then, same thing in the U.S., as it would when you're busy and you've got a rush going on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most buildings in the U.S., if you're in them and they're like over 100 years old, you're at least in the spooky, creepy category. You know, no matter what, even if you're remodeled and renovated and, you know, are a Whole Foods, like you're still going to be in that category. Yeah,
absolutely. But,
yeah.
And for just 35 cents a day, you can join this cult and make us enough money that we can make an actual chart that looks good. And it's not just handwritten in a notebook.
And we could we could print it.
Yeah. And send out copies to everybody so that you can have your own chart.
That takes a lot of money. That takes a lot of money to print.
We'll make it cheaply. We'll make it cheaply.
$89.99 with shipping and handling.
Yeah. And we'll laminate it for $129.
You can put it on your fridge, and then we'll put a little pointer that you can actually move up. It'll be magnetic, and depending on where your spooky level is at home, you can move the chart.
And for just $500 more, I will rip this sheet into 400 pieces, and you'll get a small piece of this paper originally in that laminated copy.
That could be worth some money. You know, I did go into, like, one thing I'm fascinated why is Catholic churches in the history of the Catholic Church? And I'm not Catholic, but like they have all these reliquaries. So it looks quite ornate on the outside. And when you look closely, it's like, is that a femur?
Right. Yeah. Or a skull, right? Or a skull. Right? Yeah.
A tooth. Yeah. And so some of the reliquaries, you don't have any idea what they are. But like we went to one in this church in Toledo and it was St. Ursula. She just laid out. They got all of St. Ursula, which was very weird. Then we went into a cathedral in Madrid. And so there's that one is a little newer, probably built in the 1700s and 1800s. And it burned at one point, so it looks newer. But so you're going along and there's kind of these chapels. And the one at the very end, it doesn't fit in. It's very modern looking and it's a chapel did John Paul II.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, look, it's JP2. And
he was one of the Beastie Boys, wasn't he?
He's the one that dated Melissa Gilbert for a while.
Oh, yeah, JP.
Yeah, remember?
JP2.
They have like this little thing, and I look at it and I'm like, that's his blood. So I don't know if they took it out after he died and they just sent it around like, hey, y'all,
blood
from JP2. I had never seen any of his blood before and it's just displayed.
Really? Like, I mean, it's all over the place, Carol. I mean,
I don't have any. So
there are some really weird rituals.
I find that to be kind of a creepy thing, is to have these bones of saints. And then I was somewhere in Rome and they have like supposedly a piece of the cross, And, you know, like St. Ursula, is that St. Ursula? Like, how do we know it's St. Ursula? And then there was another one.
They get that the cross on eBay.
They had like the arm of the saint. Like, it's like,
oh, God.
And the hands kind of formed like really weird like that. So the arm's just displayed. So this saint died like way, like 1500s or long, long time ago. But they found him in like the 1700s. I'm like, or the 1900s, maybe it was.
How do you know it's him?
You know that was him? Are you just playing everybody, or is this for real?
Well, it is a religion, Carol. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah,
it is a religion.
So, they do ask for money.
Yeah, never played anybody. I don't think of that. Yeah. Well, that sounds very interesting. And God, that would be so cool. I've never done it. I've never gone over there. That would be very, very.
Well, when you do go, you have to take Kathy Gordon with you.
Okay.
She's a wonderful tour guide. My niece, if you go to Spain, is a wonderful tour guide. But like Kathy knows, like she knows. So it's all art history. You know, when you look at architecture and the cathedrals and the art inside the cathedrals, you know, it all ties into art history. Mm-hmm. So she's a really good tour guide.
I bet. Let's do another phone call. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's hear one. Hello.
Hi. I was calling in to tell you a story that was really neat that happened to me and my best friend. I lived in this apartment and we were watching a movie in the middle of the day, probably about noon. And for some reason, we were watching it on my laptop. And she was on one couch, I was on the other, and in the middle of this movie, we started talking about all of our friends that had passed from different things, you know, unnatural causes, and just how much we miss them. And as we were talking, all of a sudden the laptop just shut off, and all of a sudden my friend, who is very, she's just not emotional to where I am more of an emotional person. She just started sobbing, like unconditional. I'm just uncontrollable. And at the same time, I looked up and saw all of these golden orbs like swarming around, you know, at least 30 to 40 of them just swarming all over. And I thought to myself, am I seeing things? Am I crazy? So I thought, well, maybe my eyes are, you know, doing something weird. I don't know. So I thought, well, if I look other places around the room and it follows me, then it must be my eyes. Well, when I turned and looked at the other part of the house, it wasn't there. And when I turned back, there it was in between us, you know, right in the middle. And the weird thing is that not only was she crying, just sobbing, but she almost seemed like she was in a whole nother place. Like I was looking at her, but I don't know how to really explain it other than she just seemed so far off to me. And, you know, I kept asking her, do you see it? Do you see it? And she, you know, she couldn't see anything. And it was just really kind of an awesome, crazy experience. I don't know exactly. This house had a lot of different things in it. I have lots of stories about this house. This one wasn't spooky. This one was just really, I don't know. I just felt like, I don't know, almost like all of our loved ones were visiting us. However, I kind of wonder about this particular house and whether there was a vortex of some kind because of all the weird phenomenon that happened outside and the fact that where this house was a lot of Indian land and a lot of gold rush. This was in California where all the gold rush happened. because I had taken some pictures outside. This was so long ago that it was actually, you know, film you developed. And after I had moved out, I found this roll of film and I developed it. And unfortunately, it was black and white, but I could still see this was probably over 100 orbs just swarming around the whole house. So I'm not quite sure. I just know that I was granted the privilege of seeing some really cool things. So that's my story. I love listening to you on my way to work. Thank you, guys. Hopefully you guys play it. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Her point about seeing orbs, that was outside of an image. It was like looking up and around, correct? That's kind of how I was understanding
yes.
it.
Yeah. Yep.
Like they were kind of all over.
All over. Not, like
not
she's like
that side, but then she looks back and she's
yeah. still. That's interesting. I mean, we always think about that. Are we think about it like as on video or on film or picture or whatever. In person. Have either of you ever seen an orb in person outside of a film?
I've heard of people seeing them. I've never seen one. Have you, Todd?
One time, and it was like a long time ago, we were investigating the Octagon House in Fond du Lac. And there was the Octagon House's part were so sad that it was part of the Underground Railroad. And they had some secret passages between the house and the carriage house. Mm-hmm. And you'd move this wine rack over and there was this walkway. And I remember doing an investigation there where we actually did see like a ball of light come down that staircase and kind of come toward us and then fade away. So I have seen them in person, but not often. Normally it's something that you see that you caught on camera, you know, or in a photo or something like that. It's rare that I think you see them in person.
Yeah. That's what stood out to me.
I could see like sometimes you get those floaty things in your eyes, like sure. maybe if you're getting a headache, but that almost seems like little electrical things.
Like flashes. Know, like,
yeah. It's not orb-like at all. And I like that she had this feeling about it, despite the fact her friend was crying, wasn't she? Uncontrollably.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Her friend was upset, but then she was feeling like all of these people who had passed were around her and she was feeling like, warm and happy with it or you know touched by it it's almost like they were feeling two really different things.
It was
or maybe the tears were just tears of happiness or just
overwhelmed, you know, maybe
like an overwhelming feeling. I also the talk of vortex and stuff like that, I do believe that there are some locations that are almost like train depots where energies can kind of come and travel and are only there for a brief period of time before they move on to someplace else. I can think of a couple of locations that we investigated, including the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that I felt just that. Like it was just this place where it felt like that energies came, but they weren't there all the time. It was like a pass through, like a train depot or something like that. And then they were off to something else.
Interesting. I mean, that's an interesting. I mean, do you think you were feeling the wave of how that place was? I mean, that's because it was a concert hall, you know, or it is a concert.
Yeah, so many things.
Where people come and go and come and go. You know, I mean, that because that would be the pattern of the location is tons of energy gone.
Yeah, true.
Tons of energy gone. You know,
and it is. It's a Riverside Theater. It's right on the river.
Yeah.
In fact, in the basement of it, there's a lot of running water that actually rushes through and stuff because the walls leak and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
there is that
sense of motion in that building, even though it's not quote unquote moving. So it could be that.
Yeah. That's interesting. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this. Oh, I got to ask one more question. What's become of the Octagon House these days? Do you know?
It's still up for sale. I think it's always been up for sale. It hasn't been really taken care of for a while. So
maybe we want to throw a couple of,
what's that? Yeah, I think she's still involved.
Okay.
At least the family is. I think it would come up with a couple $100,000. We can own the damn thing. You could have a vacation home in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
How much asbestos do you think is in that place?
Oh, tons. Tons of asbestos, which, you know, just heightens the experience.
Know. Yeah, we're just completely joking and speculating. Who knows? In my opinion, we don't know. But I don't know. It's an older house. So I mean, maybe it's been completely remediated, but I've never been in the place.
You've never been in the place?
Never been in the place.
What, you
walked
nuts?
By it. Walked by it every day going to school. Parked in front of it every day for 4 years, and I've never gone in the damn place. When I was
you,
there,
how did you grow
it wasn't
up
open.
Then?
She didn't have anything going on, and we never did anything there in the span that I was there.
What city is it in, you guys?
Fond du Lac.
Okay, because I want to look it up. Octagon House.
Yep.
Yeah. It's been on some shows and stuff too. Pickers even, I think, did an episode there, didn't they?
Oh, it does say for sale.
It is for sale.
It is.
This, I don't know when this was posted. August 1st.
Okay. What are they asking for it? Does it say?
I'm looking. Oh, I see it though. Interesting. It does not say. Let me look.
I mean, the creepiest thing about that house were all the mannequins they had set up in all the bedrooms. You'd walk in and there'd be a mannequin standing there with, you know, an old.
Yeah.
It says 125,000.
See, I mean, that's doable.
It says it's quite cheap by Madison standards. But is that Madison or Fond du Lac?
That would be
two different places, right?
Yeah. Madison's different than Fond du Lac.
Do they each have one?
There's Octagon houses all over the state. I don't know.
It's off the market right now, it says.
Oh, is it?
On Realtor. Estimated value is 240.
Okay. I bet if you threw cash that way, somebody would take the money and run.
Fuck. I mean, it was 100. I was almost contemplating it there for a quick second. Like, okay. Do they take a card?
I'm sure they would.
Wouldn't that be funny?
We'd open that thing back up. We'd add a little gift shop out front. It'd be all, you know, Real Ghost Stories Online merchandise. And
you want to go live at the Octagon House, Todd, free? Listen,
I don't know if it's really haunted. You know, I'll stay out in the carriage house.
Yeah. Oh, there's a carriage house on the property, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know
that. This is getting better and better.
Yeah, because that's where the tunnel is from the house to the carriage house is one of them. And then
you want to go live there for free and
that was supposed to be
take care of the place.
Yeah. A lot of work to be done. Remember, there were supposed to be all those tunnels under the city that kind of all met up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing is, a lot of them were filled in. And I remember when I was in high school, I think the base or the football field like caved in because part of the tunnels were going like right underneath.
Really? I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. 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 Well, I don't know if it ever goes on the market again, maybe.
Wake up someday, Marlene, standing over your bed. No, thank you.
God.
That'd be scarier than a ghost from the 1800s.
It really would. I think I'd repaint it, too. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Purple and gray and blue probably aren't the best colors.
This is just kind of
house.
A weird. I remember when she painted it and it was like, but it was never anything great. It was always just kind of gray, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was never anything super special. Yeah. You could really make that look funky.
Hell yeah. Do some stuff around Halloween there, man. You can make some cash.
He's thinking.
I know he is.
Todd, bar. We could turn it into a bar.
That's a great idea.
Call it the 8. Whatever that means, we don't know. But the 8 for the 8-sided house.
It's right downtown. I mean, it's like it's a small walk. It's right by the police station. So it's like you got a pretty good... Yeah.
I could live in the carriage house, walk to the bar every day.
Bartend.
Yeah.
I think we're onto something.
But only beer, because I only want to pull beer. I don't want to have beer. I can actually do mixed drinks.
Yeah. Well,
it's going to be a microbrewery.
There you go. We'll put the stuff in the shed and boom, we're set.
There we go. Octagon Brewery.
No, we're going to call it the Marlene House or something like that.
Oh, no, that's going to be one of the beers. One of the beers is going to be the Marlene. Yep.
You know, if she's still around, she's going to haunt us for this.
I don't think this is a half bad idea, honestly.
I know, but, I agree.
There you go. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that stuff, check us out on Apple Podcast, our premium channel, right there. Of course, you can also get access to it on patreon.com as well, or just on the Patreon app. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online, and check us out on YouTube. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online there. Just type in Real Ghost Stories Online anywhere and you'll find us. Tattoo it, scream it aloud after you say Alexa. You'll find us. Shut up, Alexa. Good night, everyone.